everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of LifeWay Christian Resources.
Not too long ago, Jonathan, I did a blog post dealing with age discrimination. You remember that one?
I do. And got a lot of traffic.
I recently saw a secular paper that carried it as well, and it was well received for the most part. And when it was all said and done, I got a lot of my information, or some of my information, from all the people at Vanderblumen, because they really deal with hiring people and the different ages of people. So again, I turned to one of our sponsors for some good information, and they are a regular sponsor here, and I appreciate them.
Yeah, and Vanderblumen Search Group, they are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vanderblumen Search Group by visiting WeStaffTheChurch.com.
Okay, a couple of caveats before we get into this. Number one, I am a senior adult.
Yes, you are.
I've told the story about my youngest son delighting in the fact when we went into a museum and it said 60 and up, and it gave the discounted price. And I was not going to admit that I had just turned 60, but he admitted it for me. And so I got the discounted price. Instead of paying $2 to get into the museum, I paid $1 to get in.
Big spender.
To the museum.
Saved you a buck.
No, I was just really desirous in going and paying the extra buck and letting them think I was a youngster in my 50s. But they did not argue with him at all. They didn't want to look at my ID either. So it didn't make me feel very good. So the first caveat is I'm entering in this group, the senior adult group. The second caveat is to be a senior adult is not a negative thing.
No.
And some of the comments would have indicated, oh, you don't like senior adult churches. No, that's not the issue. Here is the reason that we did the blog post first and now we're doing the podcast. It's because people in senior adult congregations, or at least dominated by senior adults, were saying, what can we do to reach young people?
Yeah, especially the pastors of those churches.
Yeah. But, you know, I help Sam, who has an organization called Rainer Research. I help him every now and then do a free the consultation portion of it. And I will interview some of these senior adults who are in churches that are dominated by senior adults. And the lay people ask the same thing. What can we do to reach young people? And so the reason for the original blog post and now the podcast is I am trying to respond to those people and what they can do. It is their desire.
All right. So the first point that you listed here is that they prayed for younger people to come to your church. It all starts with prayer.
Yeah. Gosh, how many times have we mentioned this? It's amazing that we want quick fix methodological solutions. We want something that just we punch a few buttons. We live in the technology age where we can punch it out and get information, or we can check into our account or whatever the case may be. And so we want these quick fix button punching answers and solutions. And the reality of it is, true power in a church comes from the power of God through prayer. And so before we even begin to talk about reaching younger people, why not talk about praying about this issue, praying for God's will, and praying for the opportunity to meet people? Recent example, I know people get tired of me talking about my sons, but I'm just going to talk about Jess for a moment. Jess had been praying for opportunity to lead people or talk to the people about Christ in his two offices. His two offices, one is Starbucks and one is Dunkin' Donuts.
That's a winning combo right there.
And so,
one for coffee, because that donut coffee at Dunkin', no.
He goes to two different places, but he loves both of the places there. You know what I saw? Just a parenthetical comment. He sent a photo of a donut that he got recently.
Okay.
It was chocolate with peanut butter on the inside, topped with a pumpkin frosting.
No, too much. No.
And the
I wouldn't even go near that one.
And the peanut butter was kind of oozing out, and it was a different sight. He loves going there. I like it. It looked good to me. I love peanut butter and chocolate. But he was at Dunkin' Donut, and then he's also been at Starbucks a good bit in Spring Hill. And how does he reach people with the gospel? He prays for opportunities.
Yeah.
And not too long ago, he's praying for an opportunity. Someone comes up to him that he's never met and says, "Are you a pastor?" Does Jess look like a pastor to you?
Not really.
No, he
not really.
It kind of looks like somebody that would be in the Northwest cutting lumber or something like that. He doesn't really look like. So, you know, Jess said, "Well, yeah, I am." And he started talking about a situation in his life, and Jess started talking to him about it, and they got together a second time. He became a believer in Christ.
Amazing.
He's going to be the first baptism. Now, fantastic. What's my point? My point is any type of successful ministry in a church begins with the power of prayer. So if you are looking to bring younger families into a church, and this is a catch-22 at times, churches want to become younger. But younger people, younger families come to the church and say, "There's nothing for me there." So they don't come. You want younger people, but you can't get younger people until you have younger people.
Yeah, it's that whole catch-22, the experience, like the people that only want to hire people for with experience, but you can't get experience because nobody will hire you.
That's right.
Same thing.
Same thing. So I encourage churches that are looking to reach a different demographic, in this case, whether it's millennials or senior adult, but in this case, senior adult, I encourage those people to begin a specific prayer ministry for it. Two things happen. The number one thing that happens is God hears prayers and answers prayers. Number two, it gives you an intentionality about reaching them as well.
More than anything, we have talked about intentionality on these podcasts and the blog when it comes to churches and change.
Yeah, and there are two things that many churches and church leaders do not have that focus intentionality. One is prayer, and the other is evangelism. Those are the two areas that churches often lack intentionality, and really redundant intentionality, which is the best kind.
Number two is that senior adult churches that reach younger generations are willing to change.
Okay, here's a fairly recent and true story. I went to speak to a church, average attendance somewhere around 15.
Oh, that's a small church.
That is what I call a small church. Maybe 15 is stretching it. I had there are reasons why I was at that church. I'm not going to go into those reasons. And the youth group was started at about 70. And then it got older from there. And the question arose, why can't we reach young people in this church?
Okay.
And I got to thinking about it, and I decided, I said, would y'all like for me to come back and talk to you about some things and about possibilities of doing some things with your church? And they said, sure. So I took my friend Brad Wagner with me, and we took our wives, and we went and spoke to this group. And we were talking about different topics and what they might do and how we might help them. It was a church in the area, so I really had a heart for these people. And I began to talk about, now you have to be willing to change. They're just some. They said, "Well, you know, what kind of change?" I said, "Well, some of it may involve music. Most people fear the music change." And someone spoke up and said, "All right, we can take some music change, but if you ever put words on a screen, I am not coming back to this church." And that was the point. And people affirmed. You know, the woman who said that, and it was almost a unanimity. Yep, we're going to change, but one of the things we won't change is words on a screen. And it was at that point that I knew that I'd be talking about autopsy of a deceased church in this particular church in the very near future. They were not willing to change. There's some things you don't change. You don't change the primacy of the Word of God. You don't change the power of prayer. You don't change orthodoxy. But there's so much else that is negotiable. And if churches, whether they have senior adults or any other group, if they're not willing to make those changes, they're not serious about reaching a different demographic like young people. I mean, imagine this. Imagine someone goes on the mission field, let's say to India. And we just heard recently from David Platt about how India is less than 1% Christian. And you decide that you're going to do everything the way you do it in the United States.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. And you don't make any changes to contextualize, to adapt methodologically. You're not going to reach them. That same missiological principle still applies to churches today trying to reach other demographics, whether it's the millennial generation or the senior adult generation. You need to be where they are culturally.
From a millennial mindset, let me just say this. I don't remember the last time I was in a church that did not have a screen. I think we've talked about this before, but like that's just part of what a church has to me in my mind.
Yeah, now they do, because that is the way that you sing. That is the way that you're able to know what the worship music
is.
I'm
not against hymns. I'm fine with hymns. I'm fine with using hymns.
On the screen.
Well, but I'm fine with using a hymnal. But it's just, there's not just the music part that the screen is used for. I mean, there's so much more that can be used. I mean, it's a multimedia tool, not just a we're going to put our songs lyrics up there tool.
Right.
So there's so much more that those can be used for, not just the music. I think 20 years ago when we were using overhead slides, maybe that was the case because that's about all we could use. But, you know, you had the person sitting up there under the choir and they were flipping out the slides. But now, I mean, it's a total multimedia experience that we've become used to, not only just in church, but just in all aspects of society. I mean, you go into almost any business these days, there's screens, there's information, there's
I think Jonathan's getting a little bit excited about this.
Yeah.
The point was this was something that was very basic from our perspective.
It is.
And
from a millennial, for me, yeah.
I'm not a millennial.
I know, but for me,
I'm a mid-boomer, and I still would say, let's make the change.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't want to make the change.
All right, number three, members expanded their social circles to younger people.
We have a tendency, all of us do, to hang out with people like us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that may be ethnic or racial, but most of the time it's life stage, life interest. If you're young and you have children, young children, you tend to hang out with those families. That's very natural.
Yeah, I think you see that a lot in churches with Sunday school classes.
Yeah, you do. You do. And so they're age graded.
Or Bible study classes, whatever.
Whatever the case may be. Your social circles tend to be people of your own age. Churches that are reaching young people have senior adults who have intentionally expanded their circle to millennials and Gen Xers,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be highly intentional. Now, the question may be, and I'm not going to let this be rhetorical because I'll answer my own question, will Gen Xers and millennials even want to spend time with senior adults? The answer is yes. You cannot give an unequivocal yes for everybody, but we've done the research specifically on millennials. And the millennials, as a rule, really like to spend time with builders and boomers. So that's a receptive field to expand your social circle, but are senior adult churches intentionally doing that?
I don't know.
Well, that one was rhetorical, too.
that was the rhetorical question. All right, number four, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about just a minute ago, though. Members started Bible studies with younger adults.
Yeah, a Bible study is a prime opportunity to expand your social circle. So this is really a specific example of the previous one. And, you know, where should you do this? Well, you could start with your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too long ago, it's been a little over a year ago, that I got an invitation to come to a Bible study in my neighborhood. And that was my Mormon neighbor, so I decided not to go.
Probably a good call.
But you know, the point was I had not gotten an invitation from a Protestant neighbor, and I haven't sent an invitation from my house as well. And so they were being highly intentional, and our neighborhood is a lot more younger than I am, but they weren't thinking about crossing generational barriers, but they were willing to reach anyone in their neighborhood. Well, a senior adult can begin to lead a Bible study, and I think especially some of the time during the day when people may be available to come to Bible studies, you can reach across generational lines. And so I would encourage senior adult churches to begin to look at opportunities to reach young people by Bible studies.
Number five is that younger adults are asked to be missionaries to the older adult congregation.
One of the examples that I gave in the blog post was a church received some 2-year commitments from 5 young families to be a part of an older congregation. Now think about this a minute. We often ask people if God is calling them to the mission field. And our first thought is what when we say the mission field?
Africa.
Africa or another international place. And well, Africa, you're probably right. Africa is probably one of the more recent.
I don't know why, but everybody always talks about missions in Africa, but
I think it had a lot to do with the movies that came out at the time. So I'm going to Africa to do this, and So you think about another nation, you think about something that is far away, you think about people that don't look like you, people who are different ethnically, racially, or otherwise. And so that's the idea of a missionary. But a missionary is anybody that is willing to cross some type of cultural barrier. Anybody that is willing to cross some type of cultural barrier. So for me, crossing a cultural barrier may be reaching out to an African-American community, or maybe reaching out to a Hispanic community, or maybe reaching out to a millennial community because I'm an Anglo old guy. And
yes.
And that was not for affirmation, but that is exactly what it is. That is who I am. And to reach someone different would be a missional activity. Imagine what happened in that church, and I don't have the rest of the story. I just know about the story. They invited five young families to be a part of this older congregation. These families went in as missionaries, which meant they were highly intentional about inviting people to come to that church. So they didn't just go in and show up. They began to invite people that were younger as well. I don't know all of the story, but I do know this. They began to grow with younger people. Now, here is where we transition from number five and we go all the way back to number two. You've got to be willing to change. Don't ask these younger families to come and be missionaries, to give a 1 or 2 year commitment. Don't ask them to come into your church if you're not willing to make the changes that they see are evident and obvious and are needed. One of the comments on the blog was really, really good. And it was right in the sweet spot of Beth Howe and Jonathan Howe.
Oh, boy.
It was about children and about preschool areas. And this lady, I believe it was a lady, said, you really have to have a top-notch children's area ready before you even have children.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about church, having young people there. And so they said, you may need, as a senior adult, if you're really intentional about this, to go on and beef up the children's area. And when I say beef up, I'm talking about high quality, I'm talking about great security, I'm talking about cleanliness and all of those things, because if you don't have it, they won't come.
Yeah.
And if you expect them to come, you better have it. But if you expect them to come, you better have people there who are intentional about inviting them, and that change can take place at all other levels as well. So how many churches have I seen that have done this approach, bringing missionaries to the older adult congregation? Very few.
Mm-hmm.
Limited. But why can't that principle work for older congregations if it's working for the mission field around the world?
That's a good question. And at the same time, if we continue our decline, a lot of these older churches literally are dying off. And we see almost every year, I mean, just in our denomination alone, last year we planted about 1,000 churches.
Right.
And we only had a net gain of about 65 or 70 churches.
Right, which means we're barely keeping
up. We're barely keeping up with the churches that are dying. And most of the churches that are dying, not all, most of the churches that are dying are ones populated mostly by senior adults.
Well, yeah, and the reason they're dying is because generations are dying off. And there's no one there left. I was speaking somewhat tongue-in-cheek when I talked about the church I went to where the student group was
in the
70s and up. But that I really meant that. The youngest person there was probably 75 years old.
So they're almost a generation your senior.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Jonathan. At least 15-plus years my senior. And so that generation, just by pure demographics and by pure mortality tables, is dying off, and if they don't replace them, they're not going to have a church.
Yeah.
They were already down to 15. And you know what the most constant and consistent comment was? This is not rhetorical. Would you kind of want to guess what it was? Come on. You want me to play the Jeopardy?
What?
About their church and about change and about some of the suggestions I made. Once I tell you, you'll know. You want me to go in and tell you?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go in and tell you. They remember when.
Oh, it's the remember when thing from I Will? Or is it Autopsy?
Yes. The good old days.
The good old days.
From Autopsy.
Yeah.
And they would talk about when Brother Bob was there. And they talked about when they had nearly 75 people in that sanctuary. And they would talk about when they had 3 or 4 young families. And
you should have gone all Rick Pitino and say, Brother Bob's not walking through that door.
Well,
some people listening to this will get that reference, but
they wanted the good old days, but they weren't willing to do what they needed to do to get the new future good old days. And so they lived in the past, they grieved for the past, and they will die as a result because their lives are in the past and they're not looking forward.
One point that you didn't list in here that I just thought of, and really kind of extending this conversation about the churches that are dying, what about a replant?
Well, you start talking about the churches that are dying, and you have several options. One is a replant. That's actually what I was talking to that senior adult church about. I was talking about, let's start over, new name, maybe this facility, maybe not. Maybe we sell this place. It's an African-American community, and this was 15 Anglos there, and an African-American church wanted to buy it anyway. Maybe restart in a lease place and have a new name, and that would have been a replant. Another opportunity would be have a respectful death and then hand the church building over to another congregation. So there are ways that you can keep the ministry and the legacy going, but understand it's not going to be the same church it once was.
Well, and we saw that here locally about 2 months ago over in Murfreesboro, where a church in Murfreesboro, senior adult church, dying on its way out, took their facility. It was surrounded by an Arab community, Arab Christian church, another Southern Baptist church, actually, that was pastored by an Arab who's reaching that local Arab community in Murfreesboro, gave their building to that church. And now that church is a vibrant Arab Baptist church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that used to be probably 15 old white folk.
So what you have is basically three choices. Choice number one is to change significantly and reach young people. Choice number two is to hand your church off, either through a closing of the doors and then handing the building over, or transitioning in it to another church, maybe a new name. Choice number three is to die. Most churches choose to die without an alternative once they get to this point. That's why we're having so many autopsies or so many deaths of churches across North America. We've got to change if we're going to see a future take place.
Thanks again to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School for sponsoring today's podcast. They are a dynamic community of learners who are serious about ministry preparation, biblical studies, theological reflection, and cultural engagement. Their faculty are gifted men and women who minister as much through research and writing as they do through local church involvement, but their primary ministry is teaching and caring for students. Find out more about Trinity Evangelical Divinity School at divinity.tiu.edu. That'll do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
I've got to get to Trinity soon. It's been a while since I've been there.
Let's go.
Find Jonathan a restaurant, and we'll happen to stop.
Giordano's. Just start there, and we can just go from there.
I shouldn't have even mentioned food to you. And there we go. But it's been so long since I've been there, and I haven't been there since David Dockery became president, but I look forward to going there and seeing my good friend and see what's happening at Trinity. I hope that this particular episode has not been discouraging. I hope it has given some congregations some hope. Here's the reality. It's not easy. It's a challenge. But it is possible, and without being overly trite, it is truly possible. All things are possible, and that includes a senior adult congregation transitioning to become a younger congregation. Look and see what God will do.
Thanks for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and give us a rating or review over there at iTunes, and join us online at tomrainer.com.